on web snappers.
My spider sense is tingling.
Spider sense tells me that I'm in for some trouble.
My spider sense is picking up trouble.
Anybody else's spider sense tingling?
Welcome to Wild Pink Web Snappers, a Spider-Man podcast where we dive into every Spider-Man cartoon ever made. I'm Derek.
And I'm Doug.
And is your spider sense tingling?
Well, if it isn't, the Prince of Thieves.
We'd like to take a quick moment to thank our spectacular patrons, Bo, Carl, Katie, Jason, Zoe, James, Keith, and Cody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm surprised that your response to that wasn't just the like, arg, ooh, noises that we heard over and over again. And of course, to talk about those absurd gorilla noises, since we're still talking about the 1960s Spider-Man show, we've got not one, but two guests with us. From the Glitter Jaw Show, the Mixed Reviews. Hi, Gavin. Hi, Louie. Hi, I did the thing. I said the thing.
You can call us just Ridiculous Gorillas. Thank you so much. That's...
I was going to say, if you tune into our show monthly, you do hear a lot of and R.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Just like kind of glitching backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
We will be talking about all of that somehow. I don't know how we're going to have that conversation, but... Before we get into that, Gavin, Louie, I feel like a lot of people who listen to our show probably are familiar with the Mixed Reviews or at least heard of it. But for those listening that, you know, are unfamiliar or are just missing out, tell us a little bit about the Mixed Reviews.
Should I?
Okay. Please, please.
Well, if you insist, don't make me sing. We are a film podcast. We take a month. We watch as much as we can. We do as much research as possible about a specific subject, such as an actor, director, or mini genre. And we then give that stuff all back to you. And at the end of the episode, we give what we liked and what we didn't like. And you know, it's more of a celebration of things, I think, than a lot of other podcasts. We're trying not to be like crazy critical, though we do end up watching a lot of bad stuff, as you will hear for our next episode that'll be out by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, we're talking about the hottie himself, James Marsden.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh,
and everyone's Cyclops.
Poor guy.
Yeah, everyone's. And the thing is, like, it's funny. We were like, oh, we watch a lot of bad movies, but you know what? I kind of like him. He's still so nice. He's so sweet.
He shows up.
You know, he just needs a better agent, but you know, don't we all?
He's good.
Any agent.
He's good, even when he's in movies that aren't, or if he's only in them for like 2 seconds before getting killed off at the beginning, you know? Like, he always gives his all, regardless.
Yeah.
Derek, what could you possibly be talking about?
No idea, no clue.
Is there some sort of a pointed agenda that you have against. Brett Ratner's magnum opus.
I was like, he does slay that one scene in X3, okay?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, y'all's show is such a joy. I mean, I loved being on it, but I also love listening to it.
Yeah.
It's so informative. And
it's so impressive. I'm so impressed. When you say you watch as much as possible in a month, I'm always floored.
Girl, we used to do this twice a month.
Yeah. Cannot understand.
For over 5 years, and then finally me and Gavin were like limping towards each other like, hey, I don't know, are you tired? Did you try watching all 40 of those fucking movies for our Diane Keaton episode? And then like,
oh my God,
it was like day after, okay, now I have to fucking start watching again for our next episode, like cramming. We would always be so happy when we're like, oh look, only 12 movies for this next 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Only 12 for this 2 week period. Holy crap.
Oh man.
In our olden age, we've decided to take it easy and now we do it once a month. But we love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a fun like movie club like conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, have you all ever had a subject that was, say, I don't know, like movies with people in gorilla suits? Because that's a pretty not bad, because there'd be a lot of movies that would fit into that.
Hmm. All I would want to do is talk about Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I was going to say, did Uma Thurman. And...
We did Uma Thurman. So we have talked about that movie.
We've never done a Marlena Dietrich episode, which I believe is what that comes from.
Correct.
It's all reference to that.
Correct. Is there a big queer connection through all of this?
Yeah, but I was going to say, but Cary Grant is in that movie. And we did do a Cary Grant episode. So
we have.
And he's queer. Get over it, historians. So, I'm sorry. And like, this is a complete sidebar, but you know, I'm in a mood for it. I have my good friend from high school, Tim, who's terminally straight. He tried.
We're so sorry.
He tried. Yeah. but he was like, I listened to your Cary Grant episode, and like, I was thinking, I lived with my friend Steve for a while, and I wonder if people thought we were gay. And I was like, were you going to pool parties? Were you holding hands?
And also, like, Tim, we did, Tim. Up. Okay, yeah. We did.
We all talked about it.
It wasn't you guys living together. It was the kissing you did, okay?
Yeah, but that was my example. I was like, were you kissing in front of your friends? Like, because Cary Grant was.
Oh, man. I love it. Well, starting that was my weird, awkward segue into this episode, I guess. So
And we ruined it for you.
Oh, no.
Which is what we love to do as guests.
Look, it's fine. We can take as long as possible before we start getting into this, because once we do, it's going to be like we're just all going to be out to sea anyway. So before we get to that, I mean, we're talking about a Spider-Man cartoon. You're on a Spider-Man podcast. What are you all's, history with Spider-Man in general? Had you ever seen this cartoon before, and do you have a history with Spider-Man cartoons? Lay it on me.
I've never seen an episode of this version of Spider-Man. Mm. I've only experienced this Spider-Man in the meme verse.
Oh,
sure. I certainly was watching Fox Kids Saturday morning Spider-Man, and then watching the like sexy MTV version, was cell shaded or whatever the fuck that was.
Ugly is what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Neil Patrick Harris, please.
Was it Neil Patrick Harris? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Gag. But yeah, I quite like Spider-Man, and all of it. It seems like he's probably the most like media saturated of like the Marvelverse, right? Like,
I think
he's
that's like, of the Marvelverse for sure. Of superheroes, you know, he and Batman could probably fight it out. But there's pretty much always a Spider-Man cartoon, and there have been several versions of movie Spider-Man. So I think that's a fair claim.
Yeah,
I think I've seen all the things. I've seen all the movies. But weirdly, like you assigned us this episode, I was like, oh, I've never seen an episode of this. I really wasn't sure what the vibe would be, and I'm still not sure what the vibe would be.
Yep.
But you've heard the theme song before,
yes,
right?
I've heard the theme song.
It's in, it's in every Spider-Man movie. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
I was just like, did everyone say like 1, 2, 3, line of coke? Like, it was, that was kind of the vibe that I got.
Oh, so you caught Ralph Bakshi's name in the in the credits. Got it. I, on the other hand, have never heard of Spider-Man.
Shut the
never don't know.
Price is Right gestures is to several Spider-Man things.
Episode comes on and it's like, oh, this theme song is pretty catchy.
Wow. I'm like, is he a spider or a man? So confusing. Media literacy, not what it was. I mean, I've loved Spider-Man since I was a little kid. My dad got me into comics when I was around 8 or 9. With Batman, so like not Spider-Man, sorry, the distinguished competition, as they like to call themselves. But Spider-Man was a huge draw for me, especially because of the 90s cartoon, and because like I literally have 3 shelves full of his villains back here, because I love his rogues gallery. Like I just think they're so much fun. You can add like 15 more goblins in, I don't care. I'm just like, yeah.
How
ride a glider.
Fortunate for you that we chose this series with almost none of them.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you guys didn't recognize Shakespeare, Prince of Thieves?
Iconic.
Iconic.
I thought that was a pimp, mama. I was...
Little calm A, little calm B. But yeah, no, so I've had a long history of Spider-Man comic books. I've seen all, much like Louis, I've seen all the films. I don't know if I've ever sat through a full episode of the 60s one, but I've definitely seen it before. Yeah. It's definitely crossed my path, and obviously that song is the most recognizable portion of it.
Yeah.
Did the 90s version have a different name?
It was just Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Just a very
colon,
sort of...
The Animated Series.
Yeah. Okay.
With that great theme song by The Edge from U2.
Real? I don't remember it.
There's
if you heard it, you Spider would. Bud, Radioactive Spider Blood. You know?
That's right.
But said like, Spider Blood. Spider Blood.
Sorry, this is me being dumb. Is The Edge from U2 the same as Joe Perry from Aerosmith, because I know it's Joe Perry from Aerosmith that wrote the lyrics to the song.
Is it? It is. Oh, am I wrong?
It is.
Oh. Gag her.
I just was wondering, Gavin, like, are they the same person or?
They're not. They are not. Those no. are two different humans.
I mean,
you know what? Sometimes our facts are wrong. That's all.
I just love.
Oh, that's right. You two wrote the music for the musical. That's where
that makes sense, though. That makes sense. That's why. But I mean, I wasn't just trying to just like call you out and like make you look bad. It really was
that was such a specific poll
that it had to come from somewhere. And I really wanted to know where that poll came from. And that makes sense.
Leave meeting. That's
Gavin, unfortunately, you are spreading fake news. You are being thrown out of the podcast.
Found dead.
Yeah.
It is funny that like some of the biggest musical connections to Spider-Man media is like Aerosmith, U2, and then like the lead singer of Nickelback. Like,
and
interesting
Lisa
collection.
Dashboard Confessional.
Dashboard Confessional. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Imagine me like the chaos of that Spotify playlist. Like,
oh my God.
You too into fucking
every song
Lisa
instantly
Loeb.
Transports you to a very specific time and place.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Right. Well, you know, we like having guests on for this show specifically because it's like so bananas and you really truly never know what you're going to get with it. So, you know, it'll be a fun conversation. The episode we're talking about of the 67 Spider-Man show is season 2, episode 6, entitled Diamond Dust.
Ouch! Hey, you really throw that rock.
That's my special hard one.
Yeah, hard to catch.
Can you hold on to it?
Save it for the tight spots, huh, Pete? I mean, if I keep dropping the ball, I'll get dropped. Get it?
Okay. But I've got a feeling if I don't pitch today, I won't make the team.
What's the caper, Shakes?
Gentlemen, I give you the Optimo Gym.
What a rock. Like a baseball.
Merely a facsimile to etch in your memories. For, gentlemen, the genuine presently resides here, in the Cosmopolitan Museum.
Ladies and gentlemen, the whole zoo is breaking loose. All available police have been summoned to the zoo.
Spider-Man has temporarily saved thousands from certain disaster by diverting the rage of the apes to himself.
But can he save himself?
Yes, that is the question.
I tell you, young man, the apes are in the museum.
Well, that's impossible.
Of course it's impossible. I'm impossible, you're impossible, but I saw them browsing in the gem collection.
Gem collection? So that's it.
The synopsis per IMDb is, after years of being dismissed as a bookworm, Peter Parker is trying to win a spot as a relief pitcher on his college baseball team.
Right,
if you had said basketball team, it probably would have been accurate for another episode, because this exact premise was used in a different one, but with football.
They really want, you know, Peter Parker, of course, iconically loves playing sports and plays sports all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I also like... I mean, I know, like, canonically, bookworm, like, nerd, whatnot. Was there any of, like, hint of that in this episode? That it was, like, like a weird thing that he would, like, I was just like, oh, Peter's playing baseball. It wasn't like, I'm gonna play baseball.
Honestly, like, been kind of an interesting through line in this season.
Specifically.
Because this season specifically, you know, the first season was its own thing. Ralph Bakshi, his whole film company took over, or animation company took over for this season. So it was basically just a total reboot. And this whole season, Peter's had like zero interest in science. He's just like a teenage boy who likes girls and sports. I'm like, that's it. You know, iconically iconic Peter Parker behavior, obviously. It's just so, it's just so strange. Cause it's like, I mean, you'd think it would even be a better in to like a lot of the science fiction plots of him being interested in science or whatever.
That's such a good point.
Yeah, but no, they like strip all that, and it's just like, I'm trying to just play sports and meet girls, and the supervillains get in the way. Like, that's been what the season is, which is just so strange.
Yeah.
It feels very like Americana vibes. Like,
yeah.
I also didn't, I mean, there's so much that I just didn't understand. I was like, why is he throwing the ball so hard? And I was like, oh, is it because he's a superhero and it hurts?
I guess.
I guess.
The original air date for this episode was October 19th, 1968. And Doug, you've got to tell us about these like just legendary new characters that we meet in this episode. Like, please, we're all dying to hear about these like supervillains that we are absolutely going to see in the next Tom Holland Spider-Man movie for sure.
One of my favorite things about this cartoon is that they just introduced villains that you've never seen and will never see ever again. But this season specifically also introduced like a supporting cast every episode that you'll never see again as well. So once again, we have another classmate that Peter Parker is playing sports with named Artie. Never seen him before. Probably won't ever see him again. He's voiced by Alfie Scott, who we know as the voice of the Fifth Avenue Phantom, one of my favorite villains that never shows up anywhere else ever again. And we talked about him a while back. So as a reminder, he provided the voice of Charlie in the Box, resident of the Island of Misfit Toys in the Rankin-Bass Rudolph. He also voiced Socrates the Scarecrow in the 60s animated series Tales of Wizard of Oz. And I just thought this was an odd fact. Scop was one of the many folks who filled in for Bob Keeshan as Clarabelle the Clown on the Howdy Doody Show.
Booked and blessed. Booked sounds and blessed. Like Alfie.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this iconic villain voiced by an iconic actor, so iconic that no one has ever documented who it was. Shakespeare, apparently Prince of Thieves, voiced by someone, but I can't find anywhere that is reliably saying who it was. So it is probably one of our regular cast members, Paul Soles, Bernard Cowan, somebody like that. Or we've had a bunch of like guest folks that keep coming back, like Tom Harvey, Henry Raymer, or Carl Banas. It's almost certainly one of them. All we know is it's not Peg Dixon, because she voices all the women.
Shakespeare, gay icon, question mark?
Yeah. I buy it.
He just wants the jewels.
I kept looking at the character design, and I was like, the inspiration is Basil Rathbone. Like, it's absolutely, and that's, for your audience, like, if you don't know who Basil Rathbone is, go look him up. Like, I was like, shot for shot, that artist was like, okay, like, I know what a feat villain should look like. But what a weird, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Like, who comes up with the plan that he comes up with? We'll get into it, but like.
I mean, he's just a man who wants to be surrounded by men in gorilla suits. There is no plan. He wants fancy jewelry and men in gorilla suits.
You know?
But the vibe of that, like, the reveal that they're men in gorilla suits doesn't happen until like a little while. I was like, so he's hanging out with gorillas who are talking.
They want you to be gagged so hard. They really want so to make funny. Sure you think they're gorillas.
What's so funny?
It worked for me. When the first time they didn't have their masks on, I was like, wait.
Well, what's so funny to me, though, is that, like, yeah, they wait long enough for, like, the opening scene, which I guess we could start talking about the plot, whatever it is. But, like, they have that opening scene. But then I'm like, why? I feel like it would have even been, like, a stronger reveal if you waited to, like, midway through the episode. Because, like, it should be a surprise for everyone. But the audience is, like, in on the plan, like, very early. And it's sort of weird. So the timing of it, it's, like, the exact, like, middle amount of time they give to it. That's just very odd. But because that would have been a really neat surprise. And it's like, you think it's a talking gorilla story because it's a superhero cartoon. Why the hell not? And then it's that's just like, you know, some dudes with a very specific kink happening right now. So.
My other favorite thing about the gorillas, by the way, before we do get it fully into the plot is, and I listened to your episode with David. So like, I know there's a lot of reuse of animation in the 60s TV series specifically, but there's like a great moment where they're all like laughing and really jovial, and it cuts back to Shakespeare and he says something, and it cuts back to the gorillas, and it's the same shot from earlier of all four of them like sitting around looking pissed, and I was like, wow, the mood changed to that real fast.
Yeah. Like, this is a weird episode because it reuses scenes from itself a bunch, but then there's a bunch of stuff we've never seen before, like set-wise, character-wise, stuff like that. So it's this odd mix of kind of uncharacteristically made for this episode assets.
Yeah.
And then just repeat shots. So weird stuff.
It's a weird episode.
Well, okay, so let's get into what actually happens in this one. Usually I do broad strokes, but this plot is so weird that just for my own sake, it's a little bit more detailed than usual for the 60s show. So after Peter Parker and a classmate named Artie wrap up practicing for their upcoming baseball game, which is apparently also a tryout.
Yeah.
Depends on the scene, I think.
Can I stop you like literally after you haven't even finished one sentence?
Absolutely.
This whole opening is like the gayest shit I've ever seen because there's like,
oh yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We have to talk about that immediately because it's, yeah, they're trying out and then immediately like a show that does not draw new things. It very frequently reuses animation, makes a point to like in detail draw these boys taking their clothes off, showering together naked, very close to each other, standing like almost touching as they're talking. Peter not even thinking about girls until the guy has his friend has to remind him, no, we're playing baseball for girls, Peter.
Which is just already reminding him what their cover is because they've just had a whole healthy conversation about how Peter can, you know, be a pitcher without hurting Artie too hard.
And they absolutely butt fucked in the shower. And like, and Peter does have the line, yeah, that's my special hard one. So just there's just so much happening in this like first 30 seconds of this episode.
Yeah.
I have two things to add. First of all, we all know it's completely innocent because neither of them have nipples. So like completely chaste. Second, you know, something I'd forgotten pre-pandemic, towards the very end of last year or beginning of last year, I found myself unemployed. And then the end, the like November or whatnot, I got rehired by the same company. And I'd forgotten how much straight people want to talk in the bathroom.
Dude.
And that's all this reminded me of. Where I was like, oh, no, don't talk to me. I'm like, I'm doing my stuff. Yeah. And so the Artie just continuing to have that conversation. They're like lathering up their bodies and stuff. I was like, this is a kids cartoon from 1968. Like, what's happening?
But again, it feels like that very Americana thing because it's like, well, who's going to want a guy who can't even make the baseball team? Like, it's like, literally relax. Like, how many fucking baseball players are there? Like, it's...
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
And Peter Parker famously has women throwing themselves at him, so he's got nothing to worry about.
Correct.
Well, after this practice / prep for a tryout, Peter catches wind of a gorilla breakout at the zoo, which has been staged by a gangster named Shakespeare and his crew of gorilla-disguised henchmen, which is the first step in their actual plan, which is a diamond heist at the Cosmopolitan Museum.
Yeah. Those gorillas, man. I love how they draw them, honestly. It's like kind of beautiful.
Is one smoking?
Yeah.
Yes.
And one's wearing a hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like he's smoking through his gorillas.
You know?
Right. Right.
Who wouldn't?
Amongst us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Just like hotboxing yourself with fucking.
Oh, God.
Nicotine. Yum, yum, yum.
Well, of course, Peter suits up and he manages to neutralize the gorilla, which, okay, I have a question. That was a real gorilla, right? That wasn't one of the gorillas. Because I thought there were four at one point, and then I feel like there were only three at another point. Wait. And I was struggling to keep track of which gorillas were men and which gorillas were gorillas.
I thought it was a guy in the suit. Is it not?
I think it was a real gorilla.
But then there's a moment where some guy, like, who is actually just a shadow in a hat, like, unlatches the gorilla cage.
Right.
Like, why would he need to do that if it's a man in a costume?
Yeah, I think they release all the animals is the vibe. And like,
but specifically the gorilla.
And Peter Parker punches a gorilla.
Yeah.
So I hoped it was a man.
I've seen this episode like two times and I just kept thinking that it was just a guy in the suit. I swear I have an image in my head of them unmasking the gorilla, but I think maybe I just made that up. Like I convinced myself.
I get where you would get to that point, though, because the gorilla is very clearly voiced by just the dumbest member of the team.
Right.
And there were four at one point, and then there were only three, but then there is never four again. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My other big question about this plan is, okay, so you release the gorilla. Mm-hmm. So when a bunch of gorillas later steal something, you can be like, well, the gorilla was on the loose.
It
so,
was the
like,
gorillas.
That clearly makes sense. Spider-Man shows up, neutralizes the gorilla, and they're just kind of like, I don't know, go just do the plan as it was.
Like, also, but like the newscast, the newscaster who's like, oh, Spider-Man has surely saved thousands from the rampaging animal.
Like,
Girl, what? Yeah.
What do you
think? These are normal gorillas. We're gonna murder thousands of New Yorkers.
Thousands.
Yeah, this show has a really like weird view of gorillas. Like, who hates gorillas on this writing staff?
I also have seen Planet of the Apes many times. I love Planet of the Apes, and I clearly know
exactly.
Don't fuck with the gorillas.
You know what they're capable of.
They are dangerous and violent.
Yeah.
They're not smart scientists like the chimpanzees and the orangutans.
What's also funny is that, like, I want to say, I mean, how long are these episodes? Like 22 minutes?
Yes. Around
there?
Technically.
I want to say, like, a cute 15 of those are, like, Spider-Man swinging.
Exactly.
Just over and over. I was like, how long are we taking to get there, girl? Like, it's...
Well, that's one of the things that they repeat. After the practice, Peter and Artie are like, you know what? In the meantime, while we're waiting for the game, let's go to the zoo. So he's already on the way to the zoo, and then he suits up. Where is he swinging? He just needs to keep going.
Yeah.
And he goes all around the city, which will happen again... Mm-hmm. In an even more ridiculous circumstance, they will make you watch him swing for.
But it's wild.
Minutes
it's wild.
At a time.
For a plot this convoluted, and they still had to fill. Like what?
Yes.
I know. We were kind of skeptical, but maybe also excited—a combination of the two—when we knew we could get longer stories. Because in the first season, they're all 11 minutes, or most of them are 11 minutes, and we kept being like, "We need more time." That did not make any sense. Well, it's twice as long and still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I was going to say, turns out you don't,
we
actually.
Don't. Yeah. We very much don't.
Yeah.
Well, this time that Peter spends at the zoo neutralizing the gorilla makes him late for his baseball game, where the coach is prepared to have him pitch. But for some reason, Artie is convinced that if Peter doesn't show up, they will have to forfeit, which he says right next to another pitcher who's already on the mound. So Artie's probably not making the team because I don't think he understands how baseball works.
And why do they have to forfeit their tryout? Are they playing? They're playing a real game, but I thought he was trying out. So how is he on the team already? Or did we just miss? Was there a time skip and they're on the team now officially?
I will say there is a world in baseball where, like, if you are playing a game and you suck so hard, they will throw you off.
Okay.
So maybe it's not like a tryout per se, but it's like if you fuck up, you're sure. Off, babe.
Okay. I could see that.
Or they're competing for first string, right?
So, right.
Like,
I love us, like, reaching for, like, these sports facts. We're like, actually,
oh.
actually,
sports. Derek and I went on, like, a 4-minute, tangent trying to figure out like the football points in a previous episode and whether they
sure.
added up correctly. So
sure.
You know, it's the right place for it. But yeah, so he's late. Artie's concerned. While that's happening at the Cosmopolitan Museum, which just so happens to be right next to the baseball field where Peter's team, which is called the Corsairs for some reason, plays.
You've never heard of the New York Corsairs? They're very famous.
Yeah.
Louis and I attend all of their games.
The high school Corsairs baseball team games.
Coached by Cyclops' dad.
Of course.
Yes, exactly. You got to do something in between hanging around with the Star Jammers.
So true.
You can't, you know. Not everything can be a swash and a buckle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
What? At the museum, Shakespeare and his gang take advantage of the fact that the police... This is where the plan, I guess, is supposed to make sense, but really doesn't. They're taking advantage of the fact that the police are still at the zoo, because New York has 7 police officers.
Sure.
And that gives them the opportunity to, like, start their heist to steal this thing called the Optimal Gem.
Right.
As they begin to do this, which is literally just them walking into the building, Peter, like, is mad that he's not playing, even though I guess he made it in time. And then he gets chastised by this classmate that we've definitely seen before and definitely know the name of and certainly could name her right now because they say her name in the episode. I don't know who this is.
Yeah. not to poke holes in these dudes, criminals, like, perfect plans.
That's all we're gonna do.
I know. That was the joke, Doug. I was being sarcastic. No, I think it's, like, kind of funny that, like, I get in a, you know, in a silly cartoon way, like, we're gonna dress up as gorillas. We're gonna use gorillas to distract cops. Like, it makes as much sense as it needs to for a cartoon. I think it's kind of funny that, like, they show up in their gorilla suits, but in their gorilla suits, they're still acting just like dudes with, like, a gun talking, and Shakespeare is with them not in a gorilla suit, so, like, he could easily get, like, you know, people would know who he is. So, like, it's, their plan already, like, doesn't make sense beyond just being a silly cartoon plan, you know?
She's not a thinker. She's really not a thinker. It's like, there's gorillas out. We're going to be in the gorilla suits. People are going to look for the gorillas, but we're actually men. And that is genius.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to disagree with Louis. You don't get to become the prince of crime without people seeing your mug.
True.
Like, yeah, he's really like self-promotion. Basically, he's the original TikToker. Yeah. He's like, hey, guess what, kids? I'm out here doing crime with my gorilla friends.
Yeah,
he does have like a snazzy little suit.
Exactly. You know? He wasn't going to put on a gorilla suit. He spent time figuring that outfit out, you know?
And I do take umbrage, by the way, Doug, with the idea that there's only 7 police in New York City. Louis and I know there's actually about 1 billion policemen in New York City. The problem is they're distracted beating up subway jumpers in the subway.
they're
arresting homeless people.
They're all
That's where they were.
Yes. That's where they were.
Not defending the optimal gem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Well, when the other team hits a home run, which they just keep doing over the course of this episode over and over and over, and it goes out of the ballpark, Peter is sent to fetch the ball and is told to warm up his pitching arm. But the ball ends up on the lawn of the museum, where this guy who works at the museum is raving about gorillas in the gem collection. I guess that was the whole point, was to have one guy see gorillas.
My favorite moment of the cartoon, though, because when he like gets Peter's attention and he's like, I just saw gorillas in the museum, and Peter's like, that was weird. He's like, you're weird, I'm weird, everything is weird, but I saw what I saw.
It's even better.
And I was like,
it's impossible.
Peter's like, that's impossible. And he's like, I'm impossible. Yes. You're impossible.
You're impossible.
Like, what are you?
And I was like, this
good
poor man is having an existential crisis. Literally seeing gorillas go to the museum broke his brain.
Oh, yeah.
Reality is impossible. There's no reason we should exist.
I feel for that guy.
It would have been great if he's like, you're a cartoon.
Oh my gosh.
Just meta way before we ever got into that.
Oh yeah.
Good points.
Bring that guy back just for that, you know?
Honestly.
Now is the time.
If they don't bring him back for Across the Spider-Verse, just to deliver that line.
What are we doing, you know? Peter once again suits up and he searches the museum for these gem-stealing gorillas. That is specifically what he's looking for. He was told there were gorillas. Instead, he finds Shakespeare and his crew, who he has instructed to ditch the costumes in order to avoid suspicion. After all, everyone will be looking for gorillas. The plan doesn't work. Spider-Man confronts them all anyway, because they're gangsters with a suitcase walking through a museum.
They literally look like, like it's, they're like holding their Tommy guns and like, you know, jaunty hats. Mm-hmm. It's so ridiculous.
It really does beg the question that you were asking, Derek, which is like, why do they need the gorilla suits in the first place? That's why I'm convinced it has nothing to do with the actual plan.
Yeah.
It's just Shakespeare's thing, you know?
Yeah. He just wanted it, you know? I mean, and it does make it a little more memorable than just gangsters going to
a museum.
It's
a show,
so,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about why Shakespeare has a latex gun?
I wish I could tell you.
He shoots the scenario, the area, and it just turns all white. And then he's like, ha, ha, my latex gun will surely like clean him up or whatever. Sir, is this just like a kink and fetish gun that like what? And it fades away? Is that right? Like it like.
It's
he treats it like
so
it's a mist.
Weird.
Like it's he says like liquid latex, but then he like treats it like it's a fog that's going to dissipate. So
well, because it does dissipate, because the room turns back into color, and I was like,
I was so excited because sometimes this show and sometimes like these older 80s, late 70s cartoons will just like do a thing unrelated to everything you've seen so far. And sometimes it's so absurd that it's like the best television moment of all time. There's like a famous example, well, famous on our podcast, I guess, of a Spider-Woman episode that does that, where there's like this reveal at the end that has nothing to do with anything. And it's beautiful. I thought that's what we were getting, where he just suddenly like erases all the color from the environment. I was like, whoa, this just got weird. And I was so pumped. And then it just is nothing. It's nothing.
It's nothing. It's a weird kink fetish moment. It's like, was the plan to rubberize the area to like for easy cleanup? Like, I don't.
Right. Right.
Is that when he put on his Cyclops glasses, or are we still not there yet?
I mean, basically they fight, right? Like there's some shooting, there's some punching. The latex gun comes out. Spider-Man defeats the like little guys, but then Shakespeare's still there, and this is where he puts on his Cyclops infrared glasses,
yeah, so
throws
funny.
A smoke screen that's pink, probably very glittery, and makes his dramatic escape.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man reveals his everybody's favorite Spider-Man power, where he's like, I too have infrared vision. And you're like, oh, yes.
Sure.
Well documented.
Spiders can do that, Gavin.
Does whatever a spider can.
Look, this is...
And what can a spider do? No one could possibly look it up in 1968.
So, look, this is just, they were just calling their shot. This is really, you know, when people complain about, like, you know, newer Spider-Man things, he has too much technology, too many gadgets, like, he's using, like, Iron Man tech and stuff. They actually got it from this, because his suit has special infrared goggles built into it. This is actually a very technological Spider-Man.
Wow.
It just makes me think of the Superman 2 thing that everybody always complains about when he rips his shield off and it turns into a giant cellophane shield and, like, attacks.
Like, that's a
Ursa, and it's just like, yes, everybody knows of Superman's defensive cellophane shield. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
He keeps it next to his liquid latex gun.
But what's so funny is, like, you know, the Superman thing, it's like they just had an idea for something stupid and cool and want to throw it in the movie, right?
Visually, very pleasing.
And this, it's like, you could have just said his spider sense is letting him follow you. Like, you didn't
already
have to make it up.
Already a power he has.
It's already a power, because it's not like you're showing anything cool anyway.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to it in the briefest of moments, but I truly don't think he has spider sense in this version of the cartoon.
Oh, you know what? We actually haven't talked about spider sense in this era in quite a while, but it is so funny to watch this show in particular, which is only happening like a few years after the comic's debut, or a handful of years, right? If this show has taught me one thing, or this podcast has taught me one thing, spider sense is nothing concrete or set, or like, it just works in any way you could possibly want it to, and it doesn't work if it's inconvenient.
It's called magic.
Yes. All right. Well, they end up on the roof, and Shakespeare attempts to trick Spider-Man into falling off of said roof, but Spider-Man can, you know, climb walls. So Spider-Man pulls a fake out as well, grabs Shakespeare, tosses him off the building into a group of firefighters that just so happen to show up, and a policeman who remarks, well, if it isn't the Prince of Thieves, who everybody knows.
That's the point I wanted to make, though, too. Like, when they're on the ledge of the building, and Shakespeare just so easily knocks Spider-Man off. And I was like, is this part of Spider-Man's gambit? Like, what is...
Right.
Because he just is kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man just goes, wee. Like, yes. Yeah. He throws the thing and just, no warning. No spider warning.
He hits him with like a cane, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He like tosses the gem, and Spider-Man, who I guess doesn't have sticky hands in this moment, is like juggling.
Literally
the gem.
No powers.
Yes, yeah. It's a guy.
Yeah. Not even like Batman, where his power is money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, just no powers whatsoever.
Yeah. So Shakespeare is in the hands of the law. Peter returns to the baseball game and is called in to pitch. As he prepares to toss exactly one pitch, he realizes he's holding the optimal gem and decides to throw it anyway, resulting in a game-winning strike.
I'm so confused about how this is like edited. I don't get it. I don't understand. Because it's like, they make it very clear, like, oh no, he somehow accidentally has the diamond instead of the baseball. Like, whatever, I'll go with it.
Oops.
And he's like sweating because he's like, I can't throw it because it's like $1 million diamond. So what do I do? Then he just throws it and everything's fine and everyone's happy. And then there's a cut and he just has it in his hand again. And everyone's trying to get it away from him. How did he get it back from the pitcher that he threw it to?
Girlfriend who we don't know, she's like, oh, that's the game winning ball. I want that. And he's like, not for $1 million.
But my favorite thing is not for $1 million is delivered like it should be followed up with, you dumb bitch. like truly does not care for her at all. Like, not
it just is like the perfect,
dollars.
Like there, it feels like it should end up like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like that's like kind of the vibe of like, oh, Spider-Man. Like,
yeah. Well, they love to end on a joke that doesn't really land. And Gavin, Spider-Man had, or Peter specifically, hadn't been rude to women yet in the episode. So they had to get it in there at the last second, you know?
Yeah.
I did. That's the other thing I took away from David's episode is that, Yeah, too many D names, first of all. You guys got to workshop that. Sorry. My name used to be Lavin, and then Louis was
we said, no,
you got to fix that. I could be Lug, I guess, if we're going in the other direction.
But yeah, David was like, yeah, he's like a womanizer and like not a good one. Like, truly is awful to women. And so I like was waiting for it in this episode. So when it ended on that, I was like, well, correct.
There it is.
There's some light misogyny. Just
a sprinkle. Just a sprinkle of it. You know,
yeah.
Just
a little bit. As a treat.
As a treat. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This plan, this heist. What is this?
I was looking because you mentioned Planet of the Apes, and it didn't even occur to me, but like that did come out like literally earlier this year that this episode comes out. So I think that they probably were just like, we've got to have some kind of ape somewhere.
Is there not a evil ape villain in DC? There is. What's his name?
There's a couple, though. There's like Gorilla Grodd,
the one with the brain,
Ultra Humanite.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ultra Humanite. Yeah, and
were they already out when this happened?
And Monsieur Mala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just saying sounds now, Gavin.
He's the gay one, though. Yeah. That's the thing. Like,
there's him, a gay gorilla.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's in love with, I can't think of his
brain,
name.
The robot.
The brain.
But
is there, does Marvel have their version of a gorilla villain? Because I feel like they should. Like, that seems like I'm such an easy, think. Like, especially like 60s thing to do. And it would be weird if DC had a bunch of them. Marvel never.
None that immediately come to mind.
I feel like if they did, it would be like a mutant, right? Like, probably. Or like but one they... of like the high evolutionaries, freakazoid creatures.
Yes. Was there even one in Unlimited? I don't think so. But I mean,
well, that's the. I was trying to think of like the amalgam when they did the amalgam universe. Mm-hmm. I was like, was there like a somebody that they combined with Gorilla Grodd? And I also can't think of that. I mean, there's the Gorilla Agents of Wakanda. I'm Googling now, so I'm not. This is not all just coming to my brain. I don't want people to think that I'm this good. There is Gorilla Man.
I just found this
Gorilla
guy.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks cool. He just looks like a gorilla. He also, I think, has at least for certain points been parts of the Agent of Wakanda, and part of the Howling Commandos. Okay, but I mean, like. Hmm. I don't know. I'd never heard of him.
Not exactly the most popular of characters.
Yeah.
Gorillas were big. They're still big. Don't we have a new Planet of the Apes coming out this year?
A King Kong movie.
Yes.
Also in terms of size, just really large.
Huge.
Yeah.
Very
huge.
Big.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just a walking 30 Rock joke.
Though, all that said, it is just so interesting that it's like the show's idea for capitalizing on like a gorilla popularity isn't to have a gorilla villain or a mutant gorilla. Right. It's to have men in gorilla suits for not really any reason other than just for fun.
Yeah.
and also not something that like feels out of the realm of possibilities on a show in which like.
Yeah.
You get to meet like Mole Men or like the fantastical other creatures and stuff. To have talking gorillas seems like that's a completely normal thing for this universe. But no, it's gangsters.
Yeah, it's like a surprisingly grounded episode, especially for this season that gets bizarre in every way you can.
That's
imagine.
Why they took away Spider-Man's powers. They're
too
like
grounded.
No. Yeah, they're like no. It's literally like a CW like. superhero show from the early 2000s. Right. It's like, never see him in the tights.
Yeah. It's a superhero, but we don't want him to be like a superhero too much.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let's pitch that. Let's just call it like The Bugle. And it's a show about Peter Parker at early days of Spider-Man. No costume. Mm-hmm. No, you know, like.
Ground level. Really ground level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It writes itself. It really does.
Yeah.
A few years ago for April Fool's, Doug and I improvised an entire episode of our podcast with a fake show that we had created that was basically like a mid-2000s a Spider-Man show on the WB. It was basically like took like the skeleton of Smallville and made it Spider-Man, and it was Midtown, and it was like a teen drama. And we used the class of the cast of Black Sash, which is like a really short-lived WB show that like had young actors that like really lined up with who could be a Spider-Man cast, and then just improv the whole episode. And that was basically the vibe of like low budget, minimal actual superheroing in it.
Incredible.
So what I'm hearing is I'm not original. what I'm hearing.
I think it's been done, and fans of your show.
You're doing like a workplace drama. You know.
Yeah, you're doing what like a season 7 episode of Midtown would be once he starts working at the Bugle.
Fans of your show now hate me as well. I think you validated our idea.
It was. Because we're not the only ones who thought that that would be something you could riff on.
Right. And if we're not creating an alternate universe or some sort of headcanon somewhere, what, you know, we're not doing the show right.
Yeah.
His best friend isn't Mysterio, okay? He's an out-of-work magician.
Our villain was Mysterio. Gavin.
We did, yeah. We tried to find a grounded version of Mysterio that didn't have the costume. Like, didn't he have telekinesis or something? It was a teenager with telekinesis.
He was that teenage kid in high school who was really into magic and then ended up with telekinesis in a theater accident involving falling off of a catwalk. Yeah.
That's right.
As one does. As one does.
See, in my version, everybody would have gotten their powers when spiders rained from the sky.
Ooh.
That one time.
Yeah. I remember when that was happened. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Midtown's crazy. We don't go there. Spiders rain from the sky.
Exactly. It's not a ripoff of Smallville. How dare you? These are different things.
Oh my god. I did not expect a Midtown tangent to be in this episode.
It was like 3 years before we heard from a single person who was like, yeah, I listened to that.
Yeah.
Listen, Louie and I are all about the research and the deep cuts.
Yes. Hell yeah. Podcast deep cuts. I fucking love it. Well, you're talking about being grounded. One thing I actually find Gil Hedman disappointed about this episode is that in every episode this season, at the very least, even when it was like just bullshit nonsense, like whatever, there was like, I think the visuals would be really good in terms of like painted watercolor backgrounds. That's like totally missing in this episode. All of like the Bakshi-esque like psychedelic imagery and stuff. There's none of that in this episode. Like it just kind of feels akin to the first season in a weird way. And I don't really understand why, and it's kind of a bummer.
I know. I was kind of excited when that did go with the latex gun, when everything went white, or like when the smoke took over and like everything was in silhouette and you got the one really cool shot of Shakespeare with the like visor on, and I was like, oh, we're gonna get some cool shit here, and then immediately abandons that.
So weird. Yeah.
I know. I feel like you were cheated out of some of the like characteristic stuff of this season. You know, almost every guest, if not every guest, has said like, yeah, this episode didn't really make sense and there were parts that dragged, but at least there was cool stuff to look at, you know?
Yeah.
I think the prettiest shot is them in the shower.
Honestly?
Like,
truly.
Yeah, it's so
detailed. The water looks really nice, like, with all the suds and stuff. I was like, oh, and the blue is really beautiful.
The whole sequence is like really, they put a lot of resources into the whole scene. Like even once they're getting dressed, like Peter's like tying his tie, like they didn't have to include that, and they made the there was more fluid animation than this show normally has.
Truly, like, there's like camera pans. It's not even all one angle. Like they're actually animated in an episode where there are several scenes where people are walking or running, and they are not actually animated. This shower sequence is very well animated for what the show does.
Yeah.
I know it's a reuse, but every time Spider-Man would like go into the alley, and cause I know this happens in like almost every episode, he takes off the white shirt and he puts on the Spider-Man mask, and then he runs like he has to take a shit out of the, it's the best, like that's the best bit of animation to me. They're like,
I think my favorite part though was when the real gorilla allegedly throws him into the, or I guess the lion cage, and the lion is like they animated a lion being like, girl, get out of here, and that was funny.
Yeah,
it reads true. For sure.
So that was the second gay thing of the episode.
There you go.
Correct.
Lion, love it.
Lion was like,
And when Peter is, you know, changing the alley, like this is the first time I've seen where they, in both cases, begin with like the silhouette of him beginning to change, but like it looks like he's struggling, like there's like a monster inside of his body, like trying to burst out. Yeah, right, sure. It's just so weird. I'm like, why? How you struggling?
He tucks that shirt really deep. Yeah. Like it's just a really deep tuck. That's what it is. It's
a meaty tuck.
A meaty tuck. Mm-hmm. I just see a messy man.
Yeah.
I really love to try to figure out whether these one-time villains can in some way be interpreted into a modern story. And I feel like I may be on the fence with Shakespeare. I feel like it's not abundantly clear that he could be, but it's not necessarily like one that I'm instantly throwing in the trash. I'm just not sure what it would look like.
Well, what is his thing? What is his... he doesn't speak in, like, Shakespearean monologues, does he?
Not really. He's sassy. Not more than, like other villains on the show.
Right.
He is just, like, an every gangster.
I will say, you know, not to, like, get deep into... I'm a grown adult man who still reads his weekly comics. The current Spider-Man story arc is a massive gang war throughout New York City. Mm. So it's a lot of the, like, street levels... Spider-Man villains, like there's a lot of like Silvermane, even though he's been dead for years,
of course.
And like Hammerhead and Tombstone and Madame Mask and stuff. So I'm wondering if he would like have to fall into that that area. But even then, there's still not enough because even like Hammerhead has like the flat top with the adamantium plate, and Tombstone looks like a stone ghoul, like and
the owl.
The owl. Yeah. What is his real name? Leland Owlsley.
Yeah. Owlsley.
I love when people do that shit in comics because it's like, well, I had no choice but to become a supervillain.
I love all these villains just like go back and forth between Daredevil and Spider-Man. They're like, girl, which one of us is battling Galactus and which one of us is taking care of like New York? You got it? Okay, great.
Sync your calendar. I put it on the calendar.
Yeah. I'm going to be in space.
This is why it's up there. Come on. So that's what I kept thinking of as I was like, oh, I guess if there was like a modern equivalent to this, he would be somebody that was involved in this big gang war that's currently happening, but he would still like not be one of the big players.
He can't just be another gangster. He's got to have a thing though, and I feel like it's somewhere it's revolving around the men in the gorilla suits.
I think you can pull on some threads here and like expand on them, because I do think that there is a place for like he can just be another gangster, you know, but I think his whole deal is that he would be extremely flamboyantly homosexual, like over the top. And I do think that there is space in the sort of Marvel gang area for that, because you have villains that are like, you know, like Kingpin likes the finer things in life, but I wouldn't call him a flamboyant man, you know.
And he's not particularly like gaudy. This guy could be all out. I think like imagine all this out. Man's lair. You know,
finally someone to actually reign over Hell's Kitchen in an appropriate way.
Yeah. And if you put like a flamboyantly homosexual man in a room where all of his bodyguards are men who he requires to wear full gorilla suits. That's so fucking weird. I think.
And there are men who want to do that. There are men who would want to do that.
Exactly.
In Hell's Kitchen. Okay?
Yeah, truly.
Exactly. Like, I think that that could be really fun. I think that that could work.
But the funny thing is my brain now has moved from, because once again, he looks like Basil Rathbone, to literally just time period appropriate Paul Lynde. So he's just like, oh, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I think that is the exact correct direction to go in, actually.
I think you're right.
Like, I would love if he, like, wanted to fight all of, like, the Kingpin, Owl guy, and everyone, like, Hammerhead, because they're not fabulous enough to, like, over Hell's Kitchen. Yeah. Like, it's time to bring some frivolity and gaiety back to Hell's Kitchen, darling. Like, that could be the vibe, for sure.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Okay, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me see the vision.
But he would need a better name than Shakespeare, the Prince of Crime.
Shakespeare.
I think you drop the Prince of Thieves part no matter what, because that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I do think the gall of calling yourself Shakespeare in and of itself is such a wild swing that it also.
But I mean, his name can actually be like it could actually be his last name. It's probably a weird thing.
You think his name's just like Kevin Shakespeare? It's me, Brian Shakespeare. Like,
and it's this thing like he's actually like really skilled with like spears.
Has nothing to do with writing or poetry.
But it's like a specific shaking move of them. Like,
what if he's a pole dancer?
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Like that. He's got to use a latex gun at some point, though. The actual latex gun. Actual latex gun. Yeah.
I mean, if they can rehab Stiltman into what they've done in the comic books, to him, they can certainly rehab.
Oh, you can't see him. He's like really in the corner behind. But I have like a 4 foot stilt.
Amazing.
I've been on a Daredevil reading kick, and like they kind of make him like a really badass, like murderous, like. Believable villain, and I was like, Stiltman doing all that?
The correct writer can take the weirdest little characters and really yeah. turn them into something. Like Jack-o'-lantern in the comic you and I read, Derek, was like terrifying, and he's just like a guy with a pumpkin on his head, you know?
Or an overrated writer can take Kite Man and shove him down your throat and then expect everybody to fucking love Kite Man.
So Gavin,
all of a sudden,
Gavin is mad about Kite Man, everyone.
Yeah,
I'm sensing some feelings.
Once again, distinguished competition talk.
All that to say, I think there is hope for Shakespeare. And there is a
in
space,
the future.
And there is space for him.
Beautiful. Cool. I love that we've made that space for him.
Yeah, we've convinced you to write the fan fiction of it now, Doug. Right?
Great. Like, add it to my shelf of fan fiction I'm never going to write, but we'll talk about writing.
I mean, he's got to come up on parole at some point.
So yeah. You know?
The only other thing that I had written was just a note about sometimes the girl of suits have like really big tits and nipples on them, which kind of lends to the, you know, kink aspect of it. I think,
why do the gorillas have nipples and the humans don't?
Why do they have to blur out chest plates on Drag Race and not them in the back room?
True I like, why was I watching this children's cartoon that closely that I noticed his friend didn't have nipples?
Because you're coming onto a podcast about it.
Yeah.
And it breaks your brain when you have to talk about cartoons on a podcast.
Thank you for defending me and not making me sound like a fucking weirdo. Because I'm like, now, like, thinking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I maybe shouldn't have been watching that close.
Are we human or are we dancer? These are all questions that we will never.
They're certainly questions, Louis. They certainly end with a question mark. Correct.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Anything else about this episode before we move on?
I think the last thing that I need to say is that, like, do these people know what gorillas sound like?
Oh, dude, not even close.
I mean, gorillas famously make exactly two sounds and make them over and over and over again.
It's like, it's bizarre.
And what's great about them, and you brought this up earlier, Doug, like they wander into the museum. Mm-hmm. They're all just like hanging out like people in costumes. The security guard sees them and immediately faints. Like they're making their like, like gorilla noises. He's like, fuck, oh no.
Glad that's the one guy they left the museum with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One guy.
That man died that day.
Heart attack.
Truly. My one true fear, gorillas. Mm-hmm.
Gorilla. No, shoddy gorilla suits.
Mama, this is shake and go. This is $20. This is human.
I bought this on Amazon.
For 40 inches.
Where do you think Shakespeare sourced his gorilla suits?
I think they were custom made. I think he spent a lot of money to make them custom made.
Yeah.
He called Le Chambiond and said, I have something for you to do, babe.
Well, this is why he's stealing this diamond that otherwise has no relevance to the plot whatsoever. He spent so much on all these costumes, he needs to replenish his supply.
Yeah.
Correct.
Baby, you don't want to go into debt for gorilla costumes, let me tell you. you can't exactly talk about that at the holiday party next year. Yeah, no, I spent all of my money on 4 gorilla suits, which is wild because one of them just ran off in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, apparently. The guy was like, I'm taking this home.
This is nice.
Now, hold on. Am I learning something about myself?
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. Speaking of gorilla suits, faces of the episode. I mean, you can't not. That first look of that like first gorilla suit man. Given those bedroom eyes, I guess, kind of like, and like, we didn't mention it, but like the gorilla suit men have green eyes with like red pupils.
That's how you show villains choice. In a cartoon is yellow
wild
eyes.
Choice.
I just can't imagine hanging out in the suits, heads on, like, no one's here, babes.
That's true. No one's here. The beginning of the episode, they're literally just hanging out, smoking, probably drinking, just chilling in their suits. Like, they must be really comfortable, I guess, because...
Yeah.
The other thing I've learned from your show... About
are they furries? Episodes. I'm so sorry. Wait.
Are you just putting that together? Hello.
Okay, well, we haven't
been recording for an hour.
We haven't said the words. I'm speaking the truth now.
Anyways, having listened to previous episodes of your show, I've also learned, specifically from this cartoon, there's nothing more villainous than the color green.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why their eyes are green. Mm-hmm. They are green-eyed monsters.
That's true. So we did not have a green-skinned person. We just had green eyes. Yeah,
yeah, so there had to be green somewhere. Yeah, yeah. That actually makes perfect sense. I mean, you know what I mean. It does.
Perfect sense.
Yeah. I hear the words you're saying.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand them in that order.
In the universe, everyone would have agreed with you, Derek. Yeah, in the universe, everyone would have said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then that girl would have been like, can I keep that ball?
It's like, no, bitch. Get off.
Come on.
I hate women.
I can't believe they don't give her a name. That blows my mind. She had multiple lines and they didn't give her a name at all. No one addresses her. It's wild.
Wild for a show that like famously just loves their female characters, treats them extremely well. So much respect for them.
This is the bottom of the, like, they all have names at least.
So true.
I know. I was a little upset that we didn't get an episode that had
Betty,
Harry, and Harriet.
Oh, Harry and Harriet. Yeah, they just
and Betty as well, right. But Harry and Harriet specifically.
Our iconic couple that breaks up the web slinging sequences so that they don't feel as long.
There was literally too much plot in this episode to include Harry
honestly,
and Harriet.
So much. Mm-hmm. Also, way too much mustache because I saw this dude, one of these gangsters, who I don't even know if he appears in every scene. I feel like they're inconsistent how they all look. But I just like him. It's the dude with the mustache and he's, he's a little daddy. His name's either Joe or Lenny, maybe. I don't know. I just like him. I have a crush on him. Sorry.
I also like that in this screenshot, you've captured the armor that Spider-Man hides in.
Yes, I forgot about that.
While the latex gun has been gone off because they think they got him captured, but he's actually in the suit of armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you imagine the one that gives the bedroom eyes, the one that you have a crush on, if he often asks his paramours, like, mask on or mask off?
Mm.
And then usually just says too bad to whatever they answer.
1,000%. Without a single doubt in my mind. Absolutely.
It's a new spin on mask for mask, for sure.
Yes, exactly. Bury that. Oh, baby, I meant gorilla costumes. Sorry.
You show up and the guy's in a fucking mask. Oh, there's been a miscommunication. Hold on.
Oh. I'm sorry. I did not check spelling.
Oh, boy. Well, I apologize for giving you all this episode.
I think we made a meal of it.
No, we did. This was very fun. This is a good conversation. I mean.
Also, why is it called Diamond Dust?
Yes, I was so annoyed about that.
That is a fantastic question.
And because you had both told, like, you kind of set us up. You were like, there's some gay stuff in this episode. And I was like, oh, and it's called Diamond Dust. So this episode's going to be fucking fabulous. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I was like, Diamond Dust was just like the name of the cocaine everyone was on when they made this episode.
We should at least expect some drug use based on the title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the gay stuff I was thinking of was literally them in the shower and then like a little bit of Shakespeare kind of grasping for straws.
It's not supposed to have something to do with the baseball diamond, is it?
Oh, I got that. When I was watching that, I thought like, baseball diamond,
that didn't even,
also diamond.
Yeah, I did not
clock
that.
And like the dust on the baseball.
The dust on what? The dust on what?
The dust on the baseball field.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I know sport.
The famously dusty baseball field.
I played baseball well into junior high. So.
Ooh.
Wow.
Batter up, fellas.
Yes.
Mask
and I've
C.
seen A League of Their Own at least 13 times. So I know baseball.
Oh, my God. I love it. Okay. I take it back. I'm really glad we had you all on this for this episode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, this has been awesome as usual. Gavin, Louie, bless you for making this episode fun. plug all your stuff. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find our show, The Mixed Reviews, on all the places. You can find us on all the podcast apps, Apple, Google Play, literally all the places. You'll find us there. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. Just literally put in The Mixed Reviews and you will find us. Yeah. We've been doing this for so long. We have over 100 episodes.
We're literally 5 episodes away from our 150th episode.
Nice.
And also, like, just a big edit, like, I feel like I do this whenever I'm in front of any of you Glitterjaw people, but I just want to thank you so much for allowing us to come play in your sandbox. Like, the as soon as you both, like, announced that Glitterjaw was happening, I was like, oh, like, that's amazing. Like, what a good fucking idea. I don't even know if I can swear. Have I sworn before?
Please, swear as much as you
can. But Louie and I have always thought about, like, trying to find a podcast network to join and whatnot. And, like, also our show's not really famous enough to join any podcast network. So also thank you for taking pity on us.
Hold on. I have to interrupt because I haven't told the two of you this, but, like, when Derek told me you were interested, I was like, oh my God, they want to be a part of our thing. Like, I was starstruck. So
yeah, y'all were a get.
Keep talking.
But yeah, I mean, like, we predate Glitterjaw, but we feel right at home.
Yes.
Because I don't think we started our show thinking it would be a gay show, but then we were like, LOL, it's the two of us hosting the show. It is a gay show.
That's the exact spirit of it, right? Yeah, we kind of went on this journey where we were like, we're a Spider-Man podcast and just kind of focused solely on Spider-Man things and trying to appeal to anybody who might ever want to listen to a Spider-Man thing. And we just can't do that, you know? So it just makes sense for us to have found each other and for the show to just get gayer as we got more comfortable and better at podcasting, you know?
And the same thing happened with us.
We are drift compatible. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
And I will say too, when we were making Glitterjaw, we were thinking of other podcasts that would be like good, that like maybe we should ask other people. I know you guys were the top of my list anyway, and then it didn't matter because you came to us anyway, so it worked out. So
you say that now, and 2 weeks from now you're gonna sign Los Culturistas, and we're out. We're out.
So sorry, guys. We can only have one New York-based show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You'll have to fight.
I could take Bone and Matt. I think so.
And I could watch that happen.
Honestly, I think I could take them by myself.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, man.
Oh, so much slapping. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's a stereotype, and we do not welcome that here, Gavin. Sorry, I took myself down for that.
Sometimes stereotypes are true, though. Did y'all plug everything that you needed to plug?
No, I got lost where we were. I interrupted your very sweet moment, Gavin. Thank you very much.
Oh, but thank you guys. That's basically what I'm saying. And all your shows are incredibly lovely. And you know, if I wasn't a listener to, because I don't think I knew of all of them before. Glitterjaw. So that's another amazing thing that you did is what is the phrase, high tide, all boats rise. I don't know.
I've never.
All boats rise is right. High tides.
I've never
heard something, that phrase in my something, life, but I.
Oh. Something, semen, something. Anyways.
And Gavin's worried about cursing. Okay, girl.
Yeah. Derek did say butt fucking at one point. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
he
did.
You're right. High tide raises all boats.
Yeah,
I'll figure it out. That makes sense. I get what you're saying. Like, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that makes sense.
It'll literally come to me at like 3 a.m. I'll just stop in the middle of the night like, high tide, boats.
But anyway, follow us on Twitter on The Mixed Reviews.
Arms crossed in the coffin. Yes, please follow us on The Mixed Reviews. We are a monthly show now. We also have a Patreon if you want to join our Patreon. And we love podcasting. We love you.
Oh, thank you.
We love you too.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a really fantastic show. I cannot stress enough.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked it out, check it out. With almost 150 episodes, and based on how they do it, you will find an episode that is relevant to your interests.
1,000%.
Absolutely.
Yep. You can also, if you want to find episodes that are relevant to your interests, on our Patreon. Nope, lost the thread there.
Stick a landing. Stick a landing, babe. You got it.
Patreon.com/WallopingWebSnappers has tons of episodes that are relevant to your interests for as little as $1 a month. So you can check it out there. Also, check out our Discord. Link to that is in the show notes. But if you'd like to find Doug and I, Doug, where's the best place to find you and everything you're working on?
You can find me all over the place at IckyBooley, IckyBooley. You can also listen to me on a Glitter Jaw show called Novel Gaming, where my co-host Katie and I catch up on all the video games and books and sometimes other media we have been consuming lately. And I have to mention, because Katie puts a lot of good work into it, and I feel like I never give it a shout out, the YouTube channel. They put all of our YouTube episodes together, and often they are sort of a shortened version of our game club episodes with footage. So if you've not played the game, you can see what it is. So check that out. Like I said, they put a lot of good work into it. What about you, Derek?
Sure. I'm most active on Twitter at Derek B. Gale, and you can find me on other platforms under that name or Darebear, Mr. Darebear. I have a couple other podcasts with Glitterjaw. I have Gimmicks, where my co-host David and I look at the high concept and experimental and structure-breaking gimmicky episodes of TV. Gavin's been on for a couple episodes. I know, Louie, I've heard you've made a pitch for an episode, so we'll have you on there. We'll have you on there at some point soon.
Louie made a pitch for an episode with my idea.
Okay. Relax.
Wow. Louie's like, what is TV? I don't know. And I was like, you love TV.
I was trying to find like a cool show to do. And then Gavin was like, listen, faggot. Like, I know exactly what show you're going to do.
I did say those words.
You did say that. You said you watch OC over and over again. I know exactly what show you're going to do.
I know what you do when you're alone and it's disgusting.
Well, look out for that in the future. I also have another podcast that I do with my co-host Tommy called Lee Carvalho's Potting Challenge, which is a Simpsons gaming podcast where we're going through all the Simpsons tie-in video games chronologically. If, of course, you've mentioned it plenty of times before, but if you'd like to find other queer creators who talk about media, check out the Glitterjaw Queer Podcast Collective at glitterjaw.com. That's where you're also going to find Doug and I's monthly podcast, Screeonk, a Godzilla movie marathon, where we're stomping through Godzilla's filmography. Our episode on the original King Kong versus Godzilla is out now. Seems relevant because it's got a gorilla type of dude in it. A
couple years before this, too.
A few years before this. And we are going to have a new episode on the Solo Mothra film coming out next week. That episode is with a very, very special guest. So definitely look out.
Mothra! Yeah. Please, love their shade. Mothra! We found a very large microphone. I do, like, in a moment of seriousness, I fucking love Screeonk. Like, I really, you know, the Glitter Jaw, there's a lot of special stuff, but, like, you could have not aimed something more towards me. And I have listened to every episode so far, so you guys are just killing it.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Gavin, just start Screeonking.
Yeah. You can visit us on our website at wallopingwebsnappers.com for a full archive of all our episodes. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Walloping Web Pod, or email us at wallopingwebsnapperspodcast@gmail.com. Of course, rate, review, and subscribe on all your podcast platforms. And next week, Spidey returns to the center of the earth for an episode that I'm sure has completely all new footage. They aren't going to reuse any from the last time he's at the center of the earth.
No.
In the episode, Spider-Man battles the Mole Men.
See ya.
See ya.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, wealth and fame, he's ignored, action is his reward. To him, life is a great big bang, wherever there's a hang, you'll find the Spider-Man.
I have to ask a moment ago, did you sneeze or did you just dab? I was like...
I had to resist asking if you were getting emotional in that moment. just our website.
Spider-Man is going to the center of the earth. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy.
I can't believe he's going back.
Also, what if Mothra did have a really big microphone? What if
she can't podcast, guys?
I can't even.
She can't.
Just think